This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Once again, so now I have our bit of نصيحة بإذن الله تعالى. In our last session, we read the first hadith from the book Forty Ahadith on fleeing from fight to fight, a compilation of 40 Ahadith on pandemics and contagion that was compiled by Mawlana Taha. Again, I must reiterate, the Hadith were compiled by Mawlana Taha. Compiled means he just put them together. He put them together and obviously he commented on them. But the Ahadith are the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's very important too. Understand as that makes them a primary source of our deen, of where we take our deen from, how we understand our deen, etc. The book is broken up into seven chapters rather. Mawlana discusses seven different things in light of a hadith. So I'm not going to go through every single hadith in the book. I want to skip to hadith number four. And I want to read some things from hadith number 4 and 5. Right, so we have here hadith number 4. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا وقع الذباب في إناء أحدكم فليغمسه كله ثم ليطرحه فإن في أحد جناحيه شفاء وفي الآخر داء. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when a fly falls into one of your utensils, or into a utensil that belongs to one of you, فَلْيَغْمِسْهُ كُلَّهُ, then he should dip it completely. He should dip it in completely. Then you should throw it out. فَإِنَّ فِي أَحَدِ جَنَاحَيْهِ شِفَاءً وَفِي الْآخَرِ دَاءً. Because in one of its wings is a cure, or is a cure, and in the other of its wings is a disease. Now you may think, what on earth does this hadith have to do with pandemics? You may be thinking to yourself, if a fly goes into my food, I don't want to eat that food. You may be thinking to yourself, does this even make sense? You may be thinking to yourself, this hadith, for a long time, apparently, went against, what we knew of flies. What should I then do with this hadith? Should I put the hadith aside and not act on it and not consider it? Or what should I do? So there's a number of lessons in this hadith that we can discuss and that give us a great, great appreciation for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who he was, and for the efforts of our scholars in preserving the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, yeah, what? You have some drink, whatever. You know, you can stop me in this nasiha, you can stop me at any time, ask whatever you want. Obviously related. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying what? a fly drops into your food, you must dip the fly in and then take the fly out. Because why is he saying specifically the shifa in one wing and sickness, disease in the other? Let me just see if I can pull this off here. Okay, anyways, that's besides the point. There's a number of questions that I told you get raised in relation to this hadith. So firstly, what does this have to do with pandemics? What does this have to do, not with pandemics as a whole, but what does this have to do with our belief in a system of causality in the world? What does this have to do with our belief in a system of causality in the world? You know, there's this raging debate amongst people that, you know, you mustn't do anything, man. Nothing can harm you if Allah doesn't want it to harm you. You must just have tawakkul. Carry on with life as normal and have tawakkul. Put your trust in Allah. And what people imply by saying that is that just carry on like normal. Don't take precautions. Put your trust in Allah. And after putting your trust in Allah, you know, that is really what your iman requires of it. Nothing can harm you. Nothing can do besides Allah. Now, whilst that statement is 100% correct on one level, the implications that people derive from it are incorrect. Yes, on the level of Allah, nothing happens without Allah making it happen. Nothing happens in the universe without Allah causing it. But the norm of Allah, as we discussed last week, the norm of Allah is that when He causes certain things to happen, He causes certain other things to happen. Like when Allah causes a fire to be created, right? Allah causes heat to accompany that fire. When Allah creates large masses of ice, Allah creates coldness in conjunction with that. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates, you know, huge forces hitting things, people, then Allah creates pain with that. Allah has a norm in His creation, a sunnah in His creation. So this hadith, though not apparent, it teaches us certain things. One thing it teaches us is that there is that second tier cause and effect. That cause and effect, that is simply the sunnah of Allah that does exist in creation. How? Rasulullah is telling you, in the wing of the fly is a disease. What does that mean? That there is something in the wing of that fly that can cause disease. Can the thing in the wing of the fly cause the disease in and of itself? No. The physical cause for the disease is there. But if the disease comes about, it will only come about because Allah made it happen. But the sunnah of Allah is that disease is present in the wing of the fly. So the hadith is teaching us that. And that is that's how the hadith relates to, you know, our situation, pandemics. It reaffirms our understanding that yes, Allah is in control of everything, but Allah has a sunnah of cause and effect that He creates between things. And since that's the case, if there is something in the wing of a fly, a virus or something like that, in the bacteria, whatever it may be, in the wing of a fly that can cause sickness, then similarly, you can have a virus that causes sickness. Second thing. How is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam indicating that this virus gets spread? By one physical thing coming into contact with another physical thing. That thing that is contained by the wing of the fly being consumed by a human being. That's why Rasulullah says, don't just consume what is in the one wing. Dip it in. Immerse it further. Such that you, when, if you consume whatever you had, you consume both the da and the shifa, and thus you won't be affected. Right? But what is it? The thing in the wing of the fly is a physical thing. And the shifa that's in the other wing is also a physical thing. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching us here that physical things can cause other physical effects. So what you do, you take physical precautions. What's the physical precaution over here? Dip the fly in again. So, first lesson we learned from this hadith. The hadith reaffirms for us that second tier causality. The second thing is that physical causes can have physical effects, and we can take we should take physical precaution against that. Not just unseen precaution. Because people like to have this, you know, to take the easy way out. My precaution is just the unseen precaution. It's tawakkul in Allah. And only unseen causes, the unseen cause being Allah, brings about physical effects. So no, physical causes can have physical effects, and we should take physical precautions from them. In addition to having our tawakkul, in addition to taking our, making our dua and all of those things. Right? Another thing here is this. In this hadith that we learn from this hadith, is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his knowledge is beyond the scope of our knowledge. Not because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam studied books and stuff like that. No. Because the source of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's knowledge was divine revelation. It was only fairly recently discovered that in flies there are enzymes or something like that that actually serve as cures. People knew that flies carry diseases, malaria, all of those things, right? But people didn't know that they carry with them cures. So many people would have been predisposed to rejecting this hadith. Why? It doesn't make sense to my mind. It doesn't make sense to the level of knowledge that I have. So people would have been disposed. And that is actually something that happened. The scholars and, you know, people reading a hadith would like either just paper over this hadith or kind of reject it. You say, no, maybe this hadith is weak on account of what it's saying. The chain of narration is authentic. It's narrated in Bukhari. But maybe we must consider this hadith weak because what it's saying doesn't appeal to my rationality or my logic. Then time passes and people actually find in flies enzymes that cure the sickness that they carry. Now what do? This teaches us something. Number one, there's no way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have known this back then. They weren't looking at enzymes in flies in labs or anything like that. Number two, when a hadith is authentic, there are weak hadith as well. But when a hadith is authentic, its chain is authentic, then we don't just reject what the hadith has to say. Even if it doesn't appeal to the level of knowledge that I have, I take the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is why the sunnah would have been, I mean, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the people who generally act according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the main ways that sunnah is espoused is in the hadith literature. They would have said, the sunnah would be, if the fly falls in your utensil, it might not make sense to me. Immediately, your reaction is, I want to just take this fly and throw it out as quickly as possible. But the sunnah for the people of, you know, that appreciate hadith, the entirety of mainstream Islam would have been, I take that fly, I dip it in, and then I throw it out. Counterintuitive, but we do that. Why? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to do. Why? That's my reason. Yes, there's wisdom. I may know the wisdom, I may not know the wisdom. It doesn't matter. Why am I doing it? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told me to do it. But we have a firm belief that in that there is a wisdom. I may not know it, it doesn't, may not make sense to me right now, but there is a wisdom there. And scholars have written books on just this one hadith because of, you know, how this hadith was like the scorn of many people. They looked down upon, what is your messenger saying? What is your prophet saying? This is like an outdated thing. How can you dip the fly into your food and then eat it? No. Then afterwards they find that, no, there's actually cure in that fly. There is actually cure in that fly, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned. So that teaches us the lesson of the fact that the source of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's knowledge is divine. It's not restricted to empirical methods like our knowledge is. We do have other sources of knowledge like experience and all of those things as well. But, you know, one of the main sources of knowledge that we rely on is empirical knowledge, scientific knowledge. In fact, in our time, people are over-infatuated by scientific knowledge. Right? They don't know the limitations of that knowledge. They draw conclusions from that knowledge that the information is not even telling them. But that's a discussion for another time. The other lesson that we learned from the hadith is that when a hadith is authentic, when we can show that a hadith is authentic, then we never reject that hadith simply because it doesn't accord with our rationality. What we understand is that even though I may not understand the wisdom, there is a wisdom there. And I believe that because nothing came from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam except that it was imbued with wisdom and divine knowledge. Do you still drink it after dipping it? Yes, that's what Rasulullah is telling us. That you dip it in and then you throw the fly out and then you can, you know, consume what is in the utensil, because the harm that would have been caused by the fly is now removed. So that's what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in fact teaching. I must make it clear, you don't have to drink it still, but you can. You understand? You don't have to. Like, for example, if you're repulsed by it, and it's just going to make you nar thinking about the fact that there was a fly there, whatever, then you don't have to consume it. But what Rasulullah is saying is, if you are going to consume it, then first dip the fly in and then throw it out. Okay? And I just want to derive one lesson from the next hadith, inshallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, عن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنهما قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول. So جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنهما, he said that I heard Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم say, so this is the last part of the Sanad, remember the Sanad? He said, غطوا الإناء وأوكوا السقاء فإن في السنة ليلة ينزل فيها وباء لا يمر بإناء ليس عليه غطاء أو سقاء ليس عليه وكاء إلا نزل فيه من ذلك الوباء. Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu says that I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying, cover your utensils and tie the mouths of your water skins, for there is a night in the year when epidemics descend, with some of it settling into any uncovered utensil or untied water skin. So what's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling us here? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us something about one, you know, an unseen matter related to epidemics. He says there is a night in the year when epidemics descend. Now, generally, we don't, I mean, there's a virus that gets spread, and that's how epidemics are caused generally. We don't think that there's an unseen element to it. We don't think that there is a supernatural element to it. This hadith is telling us that, yes, the hadith is affirming to us that there is a physical phenomena of this epidemic coming about and spreading. But there's also a supernatural element to it. And that is that Allah decides that now an epidemic must be sent. It doesn't happen without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decree. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides that an epidemic must be sent. But then what does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He says, close your water skins and cover your utensils. That's a physical action. That's a physical action. And the epidemic entering your utensils is also a physical thing. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again is telling us, yes, there is an unseen element to these epidemics. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His divine wisdom, He decrees when they must be sent down, etc. And Allah has wisdoms in that, right? You know, to test people in certain ways and, you know, to teach people lessons and to bring them back to Him. Allah has wisdoms in that, definitely. So there is that unseen element to it. But there's also elements to it that are physical. That epidemic can actually physically enter utensils. That you can prevent it entering those utensils by closing and covering them. And that is a precaution that's physical. Rasulullah doesn't say, just make dua that it doesn't enter your utensils. Just have tawakkul that it's not going to enter your utensils. No, Rasulullah says, certainly, you must have tawakkul. Certainly, you must make dua that Allah protect you. And that's why Rasulullah, you know, taught us du'as of protection. But also Rasulullah recommended that you must take physical precaution. Cover your water skins, or tie your water skins, and cover your utensils. Very physical precautions. And so, what this hadith is teaching us, yes, we believe that there is a supernatural element, or like a metaphysical element, to all of the phenomena that we see on this earth. It all comes from the unseen, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that doesn't mean we have to negate the physical aspects of it, nor does it mean we cannot take physical precautions against it. In fact, that is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed and recommended that we do. And so, you know, that should guide our action in this time and help shape our thinking about how we harmonize between having tawakkul and taking precautions and, you know, deriving metaphysical lessons from the situation we find ourselves in. In addition to, you know, supporting scientific research, etc., which is essentially just assessments of the physical dimensions of this thing sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I think we're in there for now. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people who are appreciative of the rational faculties that Allah gave us, not overextending. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people who appreciate the divine knowledge that He sent to us through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the form of the Quran and the Sunnah. And we be people that truly harmonize between that and that can see the coherence between the revelation and rationality. Bi-ibni subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are there any questions? Comments? Or anything?
Assalamu alaikum, Maulana.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
So just like a question in a way of looking at perspective, is it not actually, I mean, for the people that are claiming, you know, you just need to have tawakkul and not take precautions, is it not actually like proper tawakkul to follow the advice of Rasulullah? Because if you believe that it was divinely inspired, then you need to trust that advice is also coming from you know, the person that the being that you're putting your tawakkul in.
Of course, 100%. That's a very beautiful way of putting it. The instruction to take precaution comes from the very being in whom you are placing your trust. So why should they protect you if you don't listen to the instruction to actually take the precaution? That's a very beautiful way of putting it. That's correct, 100%.
Assalamu alaikum, Maulana. Our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came as a warner. And certainly here is a very good example of seeing and learning today the warning that came more than 1400 years ago. And today only recently, the scientific proof is only now coming to light to the fore. So certainly there again lies in that we should take heed of what we have been warned of. Whether the scientific proof of this was only going to reach us in the year 3020. We must take heed of the lessons coming from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shukran, Maulana.
JazakAllah khairan. JazakAllah for that comment. Yes, certainly there were pandemics and epidemics before as well, and we always take heed of the lessons from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His teachings are timeless. How we understand them may develop and advance, but the teachings are timeless and we never forsake them. We're going to end there for now, inshallah. Take a break. We will be with you guys at about 4:15 or so, inshallah. End there for now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sorry, it was just a question. What do water skins refer to? Water skins refer to basically the vessels from which people would drink water. It was like a fashion from camel skin, leather that was tanned and cleaned and etc. And they would make like they would basically use it as bottles to drink water from. That's what it was. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.